How many of you like to receive letters? Good. You know what? I received a letter from Jesus today. I'm going to read it to you. Can I? Thanks. And it says, Dear Christians, or Dear Andrea, this is my commission to you. In fact, you might even call it a great commission. You're to go to all people everywhere and call them to become my disciples. You are to baptize them and teach them to obey all that I have commanded you. Don't forget, I will be with you always to help you, even to the end of the world. I will never leave you nor forsake you, because I love you. Please don't forsake me. With all my love, Jesus Christ. I will tell you later the answer that many of us would answer to that letter. But I would save that for later. First of all, I want to share with you what I find out after I read this letter. I called the international advisor here in your campus, and I find out that just this semester only, you have probably 1,500 to 1,600 international students. And probably 110 different countries. Now, that to me tells me that God really brought international students not only to our door, but to Norman, Oklahoma, to OU, to the BCM. Well, I was going to say BSU, but BCM here in Norman, Oklahoma. Now, that was very impressive for me. To find out the large number of international students there are in here. The majority are from Malaysia, China, and India. Now, with that large of a number, I can imagine, or I cannot imagine, there's not such opportunities to reach these people. There are, I would say, like different opportunities that you can use to come across to some of those internationals. And some of those are, maybe one of the opportunities are that you want to ministry to them. Maybe another opportunity is to reach them. Another opportunity is to develop relationships. But there's an opportunity that I feel that is so hard, even for myself, is to love them. When we talk about opportunities to reach them, we might can walk around the campus and say, oh, let me buy you a Coke. let me go with you to the class, or let me show you. You know, they're lost in the first week. I mean, they're probably lost the whole year. I was lost in college for 4 years. and trying to find your way around. I mean, it was a small city, Durant. Are you familiar with Durant? I graduated from Durant. So I love to say Durant. So you have that opportunity to reach. You have the opportunity to develop relationships. Maybe you, every time you go, I don't know if you eat at the cafeteria or you eat in the, what kind of routine do you have? But let's say you eat every lunch at that cafeteria and you have an international student sitting by you. So you can develop that kind of relationship. But when we talk about love, it's kind of a touchy subject, isn't it? I think it is, especially when you are through this whole college thing. It is a kind of touchy subject. But I'm going to touch it anyway. I'm sorry. Because the only way that we can love, the only way that I will tell you that I can love is because of the love of Jesus Christ that I had experienced myself 6 years ago. And I don't know about you, but I don't love everybody. I have a hard time loving people. And I do have a hard time loving some internationals. Even I give myself to them. If I see an international student, my desire is just to come and reach and just to talk and see how can I help you, or just to baby some of those internationals, because I know where they come from, not originally the country, but what kind of situations did they come from, and how they're feeling when they're here in Oklahoma. Because I was like that myself. But because of the love of Jesus Christ, I can reach out and I can love someone. And let me encourage you, if you do not know that kind of love, you need to experience. Because we cannot love our neighbor if we don't love, first of all, Jesus Christ, and we don't follow exactly what he says. So I'm going to assume then all of us love Jesus. So we have a common ground to go from here. So I can talk with you like you would have that unconditional love to reach out those international students. Now, talking about opportunities, we want to know how can you really love? How can you show that kind of love to those international students? Well, first of all, you need to know, have some idea, what kind of the internationals are you going to be dealing with? Let me put it that way. First of all, you might want to know what kind of adjustment they have to go through once they first come over here. And that's what I call the adjustment cycle. And that is, I say we because I'm still an international. And I went through those some. And at some point, I think even if you go to another state, I want to say even if you go to New York, you're probably going to experience some of this. The first of all is the tourist stage. The tourist stage is where you're all, everything is new. Everything is great. You just walk like, wow. I tell you this, when I first came here in Brazil, we didn't have Coke machines. I mean, that's not such a... We have cars, let me put it that way, but we don't have Coke machines. So we don't walk on horses or anything like that. We have a lot. We didn't have Coke machines at the time that I left the country in 91. When I first came over here, I did not know how to insert the dollar bill in the Coke machine to get change and to get my Coke. I was just amazed. I was amazed that I could touch a copy machine and make copies on my own, and I didn't have to pay anybody to do that. I was just amazed to that easy things that we have in here. Laundry. Well, let me tell you kind of a secret. I didn't do laundry at home because we had always somebody doing that for us. So I did not know how to wash my clothes, and I was 23 years old when I came here. That's embarrassing, isn't it? Well, maybe some of you are there now. I'm so sorry. You need to get in the laundry machine and work on it. And learn, because it's very important for you. Even if you don't use later on, but it's very important for you. But anyway, I just did not know then we were supposed to separate the whites from the darks. We just put everything together and there we have it. You know, our clothes washed. But anyway, you go through that novelty stage where everything is new for you. Then you go to the struggle stage where you're fighting for your survival. And it's like you are right here, you're just going up, and then suddenly you just get stuck for your survival. It's not because you're just like, I don't have anything to eat, I don't have anything to wear. It's just like an emotional survival. It's just like a physical survival. It's just a desire to be accepted. It's a desire to be part of the things. And you miss home. You like here when you first come. You don't have home. And you don't belong here. You're from nowhere. And that really happens. You just feel like you just don't belong. Who am I? So keep that in mind, because that's an excellent stage for you to approach somebody with the truth that you know and with the love that you had experienced before. It's just a hope to share with someone. Then we have with the adjustment stage, where you have your sense of humor, where you have a better attitude. When I first came, I went through that stage where everything was just great. I just loved my country, was the worst, and we don't have Coke machines, we don't have anything. I just love this country. But when I went through that other stage, I just couldn't do it. I just start missing little things that didn't make any sense to me. I start missing sidewalks. You're blessed here, Norman. You have sidewalks. In Durant, we don't have sidewalks. The first week that I came to the country and started walking, I mean, it was freezing. It was like the first week of January. And I'd say, I'm just going for a walk. And I started walking. And, I mean, I was crazy. A car stopped, and a guy stopped to ask me something. I thought, well, he probably want to know my name or something. And the only thing he asked me, said, where are you from? He knew I wasn't from here because I was walking on the street because we didn't have sidewalks. But I started missing little things, the small things. And when I started the adjustment cycle, I went back to the reality to say, well, I can go to the grocery store now and buy some things and cook with him. My husband can tell you about that better. I really cannot cook with him. But anyway, you just start living like you're supposed to be living. Some of us take longer, some of us take shorter. I was very blessed because I was... When I first came, I just had a blast. I had a good attitude, even though I wasn't a Christian. I wanted to learn everything and about everything. I mean, everybody and everything. So I had a different attitude. And with the international students that I work with, that I've seen in the last 4 years that I've been here, they don't have the kind of attitude. So each one of those stages make harder for them. So now that we talk about how you might kind of detect how some of these international students, what kind of situation, what kind of area they are, it will be easier for you to approach them in a different way. You and I have needs, don't we? We all need to eat, don't we? We all need to get clothes. We all need to go and have fun. You all need to study. I don't have to do that anymore. Praise God for that. So, I'm sorry. We all have different needs. But you know what? The same Jesus Christ that died for each single one of you, he died for each single one of those 15 and 1600 of international students that are here in Norman, Oklahoma. Have you ever thought about that? I didn't realize that some years ago, and that hit me hard, because we're talking about, you know, Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's the same with all, everyone, color, face, shape, everything. We are all the same. For him, in his eyes, we're the same. So our needs are, I'm just going to give you some examples, and actually the needs of the international students are, they have a culture shock. We talk about my example, you know, that's kind of, it would be different from somebody maybe from Asia or somebody from the Middle East. Kind of my countries are pretty close to yours, and it's just a little bit easier, I would say, if it's not, it's not easy, but it's a little bit easier. So we experience some culture shock. So you would know that this is already something that they're going to come through. Some of that culture shock. The other thing is getting around. Well, I already told you that I got lost in campus, which is like 5,000 students. Have you ever got lost? The guys probably won't tell me, but the girls, have you ever got lost? We all need to get around. We all need to, you know, I don't know about you, but the first week of class, you must be, you know, trying to find where your class is. Imagine, you know the language. You know where you are. They have no clue. They have no idea where where to go, maybe where to eat, where to buy groceries. Little things that we might take for granted, it's not so little for them when they need to kind of survive with those things. Another need is to be understood. Some of you maybe have no clue what I'm talking about. You might not understand my accent. I pray you get over that and understand what I'm trying to tell you. Because it gets very frustrated when you're trying to communicate and what did you say? I can hear you. I'm not deaf. I just cannot speak. let's get that, you know, clear. We can communicate. I'm not deaf. So we have the need to be understood. And when I first came here, I really did not know any English. And the only thing I had in my hands was a dictionary and a camera to take pictures of me being so silly and walking and doing like dumb stuff. I just want to record that so I can show it to my daughter in the future. I already showed it to my husband, if you wonder about that. So it is very important for you to recognize that they need to move around here. They need to get around. And you might be a person that can help with that. And to be understood when they need to move around as well. Another one is short-term material needs. Maybe you have this bad cold. Maybe you have, a blanket, then you just don't like it. Maybe you have, one of those plastic cups, then you got so many in a basketball game. And maybe that international student can use because mom and dad didn't brought them here or didn't help them or didn't send money to help them to buy any kind of utensils to eat or to drink. Little things. You don't have to go out of your way to do things. You just have to embrace. And whatever you do, just bring them along. You're going to wash a car? I never wash a car in Brazil. Start washing in here. So there's things, and, help them to let them do some things. Let them feel like they belong somewhere. Because you might be the only person that they come across that they will feel secure and that they can trust. And did you know that if you reach just one international student, you have the whole country. They have the whole country to reach as well. You don't have to go over there. They are going there, but you don't have to go over there. I mean, they might invite you to go with them. Take the advantage and go. But if not, you can reach them right here where you are. And when they go back home, they can reach their family, their friends, then you will never know where they are. I was reading some statistics the other day, and did you know that Saddam Hussein came and studied here in the United States? I don't think he came to Oklahoma. I don't know what state did he go. Could you imagine if somebody had ever reached Saddam Hussein? If someone, a Christian-like person, had ever reached Saddam Hussein, what could have happened? Not what happened recently. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, be careful who you're entertaining, because you might be entertaining angels. I don't know who am I talking with. I know you all go to college here. But you are the future. You are really the future of this country. And they are the future of their own country. Not because they cannot communicate doesn't mean that they don't understand and they do not know things. They're very, very intelligent people. Yesterday I just shared this example, and you have to excuse me because I got a cold. Sometimes I feel like the enemy tries to do anything for us to be quiet, but I didn't let him to do that today with me. But yesterday we were at what we call English as a second language, and we go twice a month and to speak with the international students, and it's called I can't even remember what it's called. Anyway, that's not important. The thing is that I was talking with some internationals, and this guy was from Saudi Arabia, and he was asking me, "What do you know about Saudi Arabia?" I said, "Well, about the petroleum." I said, "Is that all you know?" I said, "I'm sorry, that's all I know for now. Could you tell me something about your country?" So we start talking, and he shared with me that he was in the military, like a big, I don't remember what the title was. So I teased him. So I said, "Well, I might be talking with the next president of the country," and I say, "You might." And the poor guy did not know English, but that didn't mean that he might be reaching his whole country when he goes back with the English that he learned here. Another need is emotional and psychological. We all have that emotional. The little one has one right now. We all have emotions. If we don't have, we are not real. And for what I can see here, we are real. We all have emotions that we carry. From past, from present, whatever your emotions are, you have those. You have a way to deal with them differently. And you have the language. They are emotional, and they cannot share with anybody. Because they feel like nobody would understand them. There's nobody to talk with. Many times I was in my room in college before I knew Christ, and even after that, but I knew that I had a companion after I met Christ. You just feel lonely. You just feel like you just don't want to do what everybody else was doing. I was like a non-traditional student because I was old, you know, at that time for normal age college students. Might be old for you now too, but so anyway, it is just difficult to deal with those emotions if you don't have any. And sometimes, and I know it is hard for us to talk about our emotions anyway, but you don't have to say anything. Just be there. Try to be there. Just your presence, it will mean something. At least it won't be so lonely. Another need is the spiritual. Well, the spiritual need. You have something much greater than whatever they knew or whatever whatever their study. I don't know. I don't know where they come from. I don't know how much of religion do they have. And it's okay to talk about religion. It's okay to find out about them, to find out what kind of traditions do they have, why do they don't eat pork, why do they cover their heads, why? You want to know. Because you want to develop the relationship to come to a point where you can tell them, say, or you don't even have to say anything, they want to know why are you loving them so much. And you can tell them, because of the love of Jesus that came to my heart, because I know Him as my Lord and Savior, that I can love you, even though I did not know who you are. Can I tell you about my Jesus? And you might have the chance to do that. You might not. It will take time, maybe. But it's spiritual needs. All of us have those kind of needs. We might not recognize that sometimes, but we do. We do. And it's so important for them to know that somebody will love them unconditionally and eternally, no matter what. So now that I put a bug in your ear, that I told you more or less what, it's a lot more involved than this, but it's just a start for you. And I really would like to encourage you, if you haven't yet, to be involved somehow. You don't have to, you know, to start something real big. Start small and let God make that big. That's the way it works. And when you reach just one person, that's a ministry. A ministry starts just with one person, with one need. Let me share a quick story with you. When we were pregnant, and it was around a year ago this time, I was so sick. I mean, I was very sick. It was like 24 hours thing. It was not just like morning thing. Anyway, when I was pregnant with her, I just met some internationals, and we went like a Valentine party, and in that party, there was like seven couples, and out of the seven couples, probably like five of the ladies were pregnant. Yeah, it was kind of funny. And out of the five, four were internationals. And each one I had talked with them, each one was going through a different situation. Maybe a husband was not there. Husband was abusive. They live in a place where their husband would go to college and would come at 11 o'clock and it was so dark and he would just be afraid to look through that little hole. So talking with my husband, I said, you know, I just feel we need to do something about these people, about these girls, because we are struggling, even though we have a wonderful church that is so supportive of us. We have wonderful friends. We have our Christian family. Our families are not here at all. And we know Christ, and we know that He is that strength of our weakness. And we know English. We can get around. Can you imagine how those girls were living? And if they could not communicate that great, they didn't have cars, they were bound at home, they didn't have the language. Well, we were able to start, to make a long story short, we were able to start international ministry just to mothers that were pregnant and they already had their babies up to a year. So to help them how to take care of themselves, how to take care of their babies, how to eat right, how to maybe understand their emotions and how to deal with all those changes. So that's what I say, when you have one person, that's how you start a ministry. Now, some opportunities is, I will tell you, first of all, if you haven't been able or have any contact with any internationals, the first thing that I will tell you to do is to go and to meet your international student advisor in campus. And her name is Linda Larschick. I think I said her name right. And she's a great person, and she's a Christian. So you have a very plus on your side as well. And she will work with you. And you know, the only thing you need to do is just to say, Linda, how can I help you? And just say, thank you. Because you're going to be taking work out of her back. Things that she doesn't have time or don't have people to do it, such as pick up internationals at the airport, take them to the groceries, things that we had already talked about. That would be my first start, just to go and talk with Linda. The other thing is English is a second language. I know some of you are going to be involved with that in a couple of weeks as a training to teach English as a second language. And I want to encourage you, even if you're not going to do it right now, and if you have any desires to do in the future, pray about it, think about it, and consider that, because it's an excellent tool for you to use right here and if you go overseas as well. And you don't have to teach. You might want to tutor. You might want to say, you know, can I help you with your English? Or I'm good in accounting. I'm good in math. Or I'm not good in math. Could you help me? I'm not good in, do you need help in this area? You have maybe them in your class. You're going to be able to develop their relationship and find out what kind of needs they have and you can help them with. The other thing is, take to the groceries. Take them home on the weekend if you go out on your weekend. You know, home, you go to your weekend out to your home, something like that. So you can invite them to go with you. Invite them to go to a football game. They're going to be pretty excited because it's something new. So those are some kind of opportunities. Now, let me read to you the response of the letter. and says, "Dear Jesus Christ, we acknowledge the receipt of your recent communication. Your proposal is both interesting and challenging. However, due to a shortage of personnel, as well as several other financial and personal considerations, we do not feel that we can give proper emphasis to your challenge at this time. A committee has been appointed to study the feasibility of the plan. We should have a report to bring to our congregation sometime in the future. You may rest assured that we will give this our careful consideration, and our board will be praying for you and your efforts to find additional disciples. We do appreciate your offer to serve as a resource person, and should we decide to undertake this project at some point in the future, we'll get back with you. My desire to you is really that you will not be one of those answering the letter. And there's a scripture that I want to share with you that it had been kind of dear to me, and that is Leviticus chapter 19, verse 33, and says, "When an alien lives with you in your land, do not mistreat him." And believe me, alien is not that green guy with antennas. You know, my boss, Bob Lee, he called me alien for the longest time until we were able to get our green card. And they say, oh, I cannot. If you know Bob Lee, you know what I'm talking about. I cannot call you alien anymore. But the alien, the kind of alien that Bob is talking about, is if you were going to another country, you will be an alien. So I want to encourage you to take advantage of some of the things they already set up. Take advantage of the holidays. They're around the corner. Take advantage of what is already taking place and join them. In experiencing God, there's a chapter that says, see where God is working and join him. Don't have to start anything new. I mean, if you do, it's because your leaders are being God-led. But I want to make myself available to you, and the staff, they already know that. Then anything that you need, any questions that you might have, please talk with me, and I try to help you. I mean, if I don't know all the answers, but I promise you I will look up those for you. I had brought this, and this is kind of an old thing, but it had been sitting in my office. And when I go out, I try to give those out because they're not doing anything good in my office. And it says, "What do Christians believe?" An international student asks. You might want to look through and maybe be encouraged to some of the things that you read. And let me pray for you then so I can... We can close and I don't want to keep you any longer. Okay? Dear God, thank you so much for the plans that you have for us. There are plans for a future and for a hope. Thank you for allowing us to be here present and to know that you are ahead of us and that you are with us. With that confidence, God, I just pray. I do not know all these students are here, God, but I am so thankful that you do. That you know each one personally, God, and you have a purpose for them, for their lives, God. And I pray that as they find themselves as a person, God, and they find themselves in you, God. God, and I pray that during the time that they're in college, they will be able to, if their heart, if you had called them to be involved in any part of international ministry, Lord, I pray that you will be done. God, and thank you so much for the opportunity that you had given me to share more about you. I pray in Jesus' name, because outside of his will, we can do nothing. Amen.